Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. We caught up with bassist Franz Lyons of the band Turnstiles, celebrating their latest album and celebrating those Grammys they picked up a few weeks ago. This interview first aired on Wednesday, February 25th. Let's go. Well, let's get right into it, man. Hanging with us on the show tonight is the bassist for Turnstile, Franz Lyons. Franz, man, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, listen, it seems like there's plenty to talk about, but right out of the gate, congrats on last year's release of Turnstile's album, Never Enough, which, continues to be celebrated. You picked up a couple of Grammys recently for Best Metal Performance and Best Rock Album. Never Enough came out in June. How are you feeling right now?
Like I should do some laundry? I don't know, bro. It's all good. I mean, we've been it's super sick to hit the lottery. But in my head, it's just the same. Like, it's the same as when we were driving the van around by ourselves. Like, it wasn't a mystical, magical hand that helped do some of the things that landed us at this part, at this point in our lives. And it doesn't seem that crazy in my head. Like, it seems like the event happened, but all of the other stuff that was around it is just the same. Yeah. Like, there's a little bit more communication. Like, there's desire to play in different atmospheres or spaces. But as far as the feeling of what we have going on, it really feels still just a us thing.
Well, and I have to imagine when you guys started out in Baltimore 16 years ago, you guys didn't get together and were like, all right, one day we're going to win a couple Grammys.
I was like, one day I'm going to play this guitar proficiently. For me, it was a whole different sort of journey. I was fighting my whole life, until 4 years ago. I was like, wait, hold on. Y'all are really good at your instruments. How do I get them? I'm chasing you guys.
What keeps you focused on staying true to those early roots of the band? As you get bigger and bigger, as you get more desire to play different stages, that kind of thing.
I mean, the more adventurous we get outward facing is just us tightening up things closer together. I look to them, they do everything. So I don't know. I'm really lucky to be in a band with them, with everyone that we're in our mix with. It's just it's being in a group with four people that are better than you all the time. So it's if I'm striving to keep it, if I'm striving to be like them, I'm in a pretty good area.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense, man.
And I mean that in every sense, from playing instruments to being considerate about how things are going on to what the environment of our show should be like everything. These dudes are, and Shorty are they're so smart and considerate and can really see big picture-ness.
Have you always felt that way? Like from the beginning, just being surrounded by...
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, once you start and two people in the band are already phenomenal drummers, beyond regular drummers, two people are that. Then you start adding everybody else whose rhythm is their flavor, but their thing is playing strings. And it's their effort goes a long way.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've always been kind of just in the shadow of that sort of area of our band, because I mean I played my instrument last.
Yeah, but so I mean, do you feel like you're in some type of shadow, just as far as playing instruments goes?
Yeah, I mean not even a shadow, just I want to be as good as them. So in my head, I'm always trying to chase their currentness at their instrument. But as far as life and consideration, I mean, you can't beat them. They're literally so tight.
Dude, seems like a dream. Grammys are great. Playing big stages is great. But to be surrounded by people like that and to feel that.
I'm saying, bro, when our band started, I would still come from Ohio to Brendan's parents' house in my Volvo station wagon all the time. And before, you know what I mean? Before you even, before it was my dad just saying okay, your friend's parents said they'll take care of you. It's kind of hard to let your... 19, early 20-year-old kid drive through the mountains to MoCo to stay with your band. You know what I mean? The optics were weird. And even from the beginning, I had a family there to look after me. And I never felt I always felt I had a place to go that was always nurturing to what we had going on. I don't know, their parents believed in them before. I mean, the lucky thing is to have that kind of safety basket.
Yeah.
That's the big win for real. And like all these years later, you know what I mean? They're still flying to LA to pull up with us. Like after function at the Grammys was like parent section over there. All the other friends get on the floor. Like it's all good. You know, there wasn't like too complicated. It was just like some DJs in a room and some burgers and our family.
Dude, that sounds pretty good, man.
You say, you feel me? I changed outfits. We were crushing shit.
Do you spend a lot of time reflecting on the past?
Reflecting and like the queue is just fucked up. Like the stuff that I have to reflect on keeps getting longer and longer. Right, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna think about that. I'm gonna think about that. And then somebody calls and is like, well, we about to do this other creative thing. I'm like, all right, we'll think about that later. My thing is, and I think I like things. Like I can, if I see something, I can like, can viscerally remember it. Like if I looked at some shows we played in like 2013 and I'm like, I don't really remember the show, but I still own the pair of shoes that I was playing in at the show. That strikes up a memory. Then I'm like, oh shit, I messed up this. Sorry, I did that. You know, like a lot of times it's hard for me to grasp what I'm thinking about if I don't have like a thing. Like I have like all the set lists from the Glow On Record tour or that whole tour, like, or all old tour t-shirts like that like helps me reminisce on something. And like, yeah, I'll bust a Benz out every now and then, but like, I don't know. I kind of just feel like if I just maintain my mental now, I'll have a chance to properly reflect on it when it's time to like chill, or like when, you know, when we switch gears to try something else. But like right now I really need to just like have my feet on the ground and stay considerate of like our band and what we have going on and to our peers.
Well, and that's a challenge, right? Like, yeah, it's good to reflect, it's good to look ahead, but there's that significance of, well, no, I got to be here right now.
Yeah, facts. And like I don't want to miss that part, so you know, it's a constant juggling match.
Yeah.
But I think that's a blessed to have that problem for real.
Yeah, for sure, man. And clearly too, you know, you're a sentimental guy hanging on to the set list, the tour t-shirts and everything.
Oh yeah. For days. You know, like also that's the kind of stuff too. Like I got three tour shirts from like, you know, the fifth US tour we ever did. Like you pop up to the White Elephant and you give away a funny old t-shirt and that cracks somebody else up. You know what I mean? That was there with you.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious, man, for anyone who's seen you live, and I know this, you know, your show is intense, nonstop energy, and it always seems like the crowd and the band are feeding off of each other. As the stages you play get bigger and bigger, and man, you're playing some massive stages this year, you know, Lollapalooza in South America and Coachella here in the States. Is it harder for you to feed off of the crowd?
Nah, I was having this conversation like in the summer, like it's funny going from the band is part of the show to the band is the show. But it's funny because nowadays, more so than not, I prefer playing on a larger stage because there's proper space for everybody to really, really do their thing. Like it's kind of, it kind of sucks, you know, like everybody's really like the small venue thing, you're going to jump off the thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's fire. But 30% of the room never been to a show like this before. That sounds inherently weird and counterproductive to the vibe. If people that are just now coming here to see this are like so involved in this, like playing Lollapalooza, I think like the production and our dedication to really transferring the energy from us to them, I think that like the distance don't really matter. We'll find a way, like whether it's physically getting to you, whether production wise it makes you feel like you're closer to us, like there's at no point where any of the five of us will give up on trying to really establish that connection, no matter how big the stage is. Honestly, I think it's more fun to run around and like, it makes it more unique when you get super, super close to somebody on that sort of stage. Like if there's somehow, you know, like the stairs or the thing, you could go like, or Brendan will just be like, I'm feeling crazy. His eyes are shut. He's like moonwalking across a 10-foot gap where there's stairs or something. And like before all is said and done, there's at least 10 people that touch the energy that we were trying to produce on stage, like physically.
I love that, man. Yeah. I mean, I just love that, that, you know, no matter how the size of the stage or where you play, like that mentality of still wanting to, we're going to do what we do. We're going to have fun. We're going to project that. And that's that.
I mean, I just kind of like, it's like this, dude, like I can't tell you honestly about what I'm doing if I'm not being honest.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's a lot of stuff that you can't control, but what I can control is how I conduct myself on stage and how I present and portray and try to like share what I'm doing with you. Like, I mean, that's just like, if you're just painfully being you all the time, like you can't go wrong. Like there's crazy critics and like, you know, a lot of chatter all the time, but it's like for 16 years, I've been pulling up to the same party and yeah. I will still be, you know what I mean? This is, which is a hard thing to do, to like, to know your spot, know how to grow, know how to not be, you know, stuck in a mode. Like at the base of it all, I really just want to go to the hardcore show, but 15 years turns into something else. I can't go to the same room every single time. Like everybody wants to pull up to something new.
That's right, man. That's
everybody
right.
Wants to be excited.
Well, and so translate that then into the studio, because I have to imagine as the years go on, as the awards pile up, as those stages get bigger, when you're in the studio, there's got to be a lot more voices or outside influences trying to get in. Like, how do you, but
there's five voices in the room, my boy.
There we go, man. But there's got to be other voices trying to get in, right?
Nah. It's not, yo. And fortunately, that's what's so fire about this band. Fortunately enough, we've worked with people and the catalog extends. I mean, like from Mike Elizondo to Will Yip to Brian McTernan, like not very many other people really hit the record button or were messing with microphones for us. So it's like the studio is naturally like watching songs form in front of your face is like the mushroom on damn Mario Kart. Like you hear something turn from piano to guitar riff, and then you hear the drums come with that. And the, you know what I mean? Like once you start orchestrating that, luckily we've been around these people that respect our decisions and our skills and let us and help guide us to our destination without severely impeding what is going down. Like, I don't know. Our band will ask every question until there are no more questions left. And if the answer was the first one we were talking about an hour and a half ago, we will double back to that decision right now.
I love that, man.
Yeah, that. Dude.
All right. Listen, last question. Going back to the beginning of the conversation, the Grammys.
Yeah, let's go.
I got to ask you, man, what was in your bag?
At the end of the night, it was two Grammy replica trophies. So that's all that really matters. You know what I'm saying? You don't get your trophy until July.
Yeah.
So I'll have the bag. I'm trying to flick up. I'm like, yo, I got this sick ass bag. Why are you going to give me my own trophy today? So I set the Grammy in my bag and the whole backstage stopped. Oh, I was like, yo. I was like, y'all let me win. I just want to put it in my bag. This looks cool. And the lady's like, oh my God. Oh my God. I was like, well, where am I run to? You got three other security guards right there. And Shibuzi just ran into me. We can't go nowhere. We're doing the end zone dance ourselves.
I love it, man. Franz Lyons, thank you so much for hanging with us, man. Congrats on Never Enough. Congrats on the Grammys. You. Congrats on everything. It is, it's cool to see. And I can't wait to see and hear all that's to come. Listeners,
catch us in the field.
Stay caught up. Get the tour schedule. Get everything you need at turnstilehardcore.com. We'll keep you posted on Loudwire. But man, thank you again. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
No doubt.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.